the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello folks. Welcome to Beyond the Pets. I'm your host, Phil Brown, and absolutely delighted to be joined here with the legend that is Kenny Sansom. Of course, Kenny, Arsenal legend, Crystal Palace, played at numerous clubs, Newcastle, QPR, England's most capped fullback, 86 times, unbelievable. Anytime I do an Arsenal legend, I always want to dedicate it to fantastic Desi Mullen from Belfast, who was Arsenal daft, who we sadly lost a couple of years ago, so this is a dedication to the Mullen family. Kenny, how's things, mate?
Yeah, at the moment it's very, very good. I think I've been sober nearly 7 weeks now, so it's great stuff.
You've been sober 7 weeks, mate. That is absolutely superb, yep. Magnificent achievement. We're going to get into that because that is an incredible story. First of all, I want to talk to you about the football. You played for Palace, Arsenal, Newcastle, QPR. Fantastic career. A couple of other clubs as well, of course. Everton, Newcastle and all that there. Tell me about your life as a footballer, Kenny. Was that the happiest time of your life?
Oh, yeah. I think my childhood was just absolutely fantastic. My mum was marvellous. You know, I didn't grow up. My daddy left when I was very young, so my mum brought me and my brother up. We were, you know, only about 18 months between us. So my upbringing was just fantastic. To be honest, I didn't think about being a footballer. I think I started playing when I was about 10. You know, now when you're born, if you're a boy, you're a footballer, aren't you? It wasn't like that in my day. I was, you know, busy doing a bit of scrumping and nicking the odd Mars bar out of Woolworths when there was a Woolworths. But it just happened overnight almost. I started kicking around with my brother at 10, and a guy on an estate where I was living wanted to get an 11-a-side up. He asked me, my brother and my friends, and we said yes, and then I started playing for my school. And, you know, the one great story, I was training at Queen's Park Rangers as a 13-year-old kid. And I said to my mum, I said, Mum, I'm not going anymore. I don't mind going because I love training. It's fantastic. I said, but travelling home on my own, I'll get a bit lonely. And, you know, when I was 13, I was still a kid. Well, I'm still a kid now, but, you know, when you're 13, when I was 13, you're still basically a kid. They're grown up more now. And so my mum said, just go tonight, son, and then you don't have to go again. So I went training. It took me about an hour and a half to get there. Did my training, had my shower, got dressed, walked to Ruislip Station, and my mum was waiting now. So I didn't have to travel home on my own. And then I went ever since. I joined Crystal Palace, and within 2 years, I was playing for England schoolboys.
Very close to your mum, Kenny.
Yeah, she's passed on now.
Yes, I'm assuming growing up with not having your dad there, you were very close to your mum?
Oh, yeah, very, very close. She did everything. She went to work at 10 o'clock at night and got home for 6 o'clock so she could wake us up, make us have breakfast, something to eat for breakfast, and so we'd get to school. So that's what she did.
Your mum was a cleaner, wasn't she?
Yep.
Yeah, so was mine.
She was the best. She made me a footballer, there's no doubt. She was 70%. Terry Venables, 30%.
How old were you when you lost your mum?
Poor blimey, this mum was about 5 years. I was just, say, 53, something like that. She was in a home for a while. She has dimentia, so every time I went and see her, I said, do you know who I am? She said, yeah, you're Kenny Sansom. She wouldn't say she's my son. I'm her son. She would say, you're Kenny Sansom.
Yeah.
So she was a massive, massive part of me being a footballer, that's for sure.
I can tell the emotion in your voice, Kenny, when you talk about your mum, how much she meant to you. Obviously, you went to Palace and played for Terry Venables. Fantastic coach, of course, in that great Palace team. Would you say he was the greatest manager you played for?
Oh, yes, definitely. The thing with Terry, you know, Don Howe was a great coach. George Graham was a great manager. He was very similar to Terry Venables, George. Bobby Robson was a great manager. But Terry could do both. He could coach, he could teach you stuff, he was a great coach, but he's also a great manager. He had the two, where you'll find, I would say, most would have the one, the coaching or the management, but Terry had both. That's what made him the best.
You then move on to Arsenal. Was that a difficult decision, Kenny, or was that something that you were desperate to want to go do?
Well, you'll have to ask Terry, because on Monday, I went into training at Crystal Palace and talked to Venners about a contract. We agreed on a contract on Monday. I came in on Tuesday, and before I went to get changed, Terry went, "Ken, don't bother getting changed. Just drive over to Arsenal. They want to sign you." And he just sent me in my car over to Arsenal. So he said I wanted to go, but he just told me to go. And I didn't really have any big figures around me to say, "Ken, hold on a minute, what are you doing?" Mm-hmm. It was just done within a day. Do you know what I mean? He won't admit it, Terry. I've asked him several times. It was your fault. He said, "No, you wanted to go." So we've got this ongoing discussion. Every time we see each other, it comes up.
So you go to Arsenal. You have an unbelievable career. Tell me about your time at Arsenal, Kenny, because you must have some amazing memories having played for that football club.
Oh, the field's fantastic. You know, it's one of the biggest clubs in the world. And we had great fans. I mean, Palace was phenomenal. I've got to tell you, I was there 3 years, and it was just, they made me. Crystal Palace made me. I went to Arsenal. I was obviously playing for England while I was at Palace. And obviously, my move into Arsenal is a bigger club. You know, you get looked at more, and, you know, if you are a good player, you will get picked for your country more. So, you know, I had 8 great years there, and obviously had a little fallout with Mr. George Graham. "Sign me or sell me," I think, was the quote in one of the newspapers, and he didn't like that, George. So, but, you know, whenever I see him now, we have great conversations. He's on my DVD saying nice things about me, which is good. So, you know, Arsenal was great. We was lucky. We didn't win much, I've got to say, but we got to 2 cup, League Cup finals, and we beat Liverpool in one of them, and we lost to, well, we should have lost to Liverpool, really, on paper, but we seemed to beat them and lose to the weaker team in Luton. So, that's football for you.
We
had some great times there.
You ever have any regrets at Arsenal of going there? Was there ever any time during that time when you thought about leaving, or was it you completely committed?
Oh, I was committed. Wherever I was committed. I never wanted to leave anywhere. Because, you know, to be totally honest, I enjoyed every single football club I played for, you know, even the amateur ones. You know, because the one thing, I want to get into schools now, I'm sober and thinking properly, and I want to tell kids it's so important about enjoying it. Don't matter what level you play. I mean, it does too, you know, when you're a kid, obviously you want to play in the Premier League. But it's not the level, it's the enjoyment you get out of it. And I played for Chertsey Town, Slough, and Croydon, you know, which is just not far from where I am now. You know, and I enjoyed every moment of it. And obviously, you know, every football club I played at, you know, I've got loads of true stories, because all the stories I tell when I do dinners are all true because I was at them.
I want to ask you about 1986 at the World Cup, because you played in that game where Maradona scored both of those goals that were unbelievable for two both different reasons. What's your memories of that game, Kenny?
I think most probably one of the biggest memories. I don't think people know too much about it, but we worked on a free kick, because they played offside from free kicks if they were wide, because Bobby Robson had them watched, obviously. And Stevie Hodge, we worked on it for 1 hour before the day before the game, and it was 0-0. We worked on this free kick. I go to take it. I back heel it to Glenn Hoddle, who's behind me. All our players then run out with the Argentinians. Gary Lineker on his own would do a U-turn, spin back in, and it would stay onside. I would keep running. The right back would be running out for Argentina, and Glenn Hoddle would knock it over his head, and I was there. All I had to do was knock the ball towards the penalty spot, and Gary Lineker puts us 1-0 up in the first half. And Stevie Hodge was offside. And we got in the dressing room, and there was a few swear words aimed at him. You know, we worked on it for an hour. "What are you doing? I can't believe it. Bobby Robson's going potty." because we worked on it the day before. And he sat on the bench, Stevie Hodge, didn't say much, and then he went, "I'm sorry, lads, I forgot. It's quarter final of the World Cup, and he forgot. Within one day, he's forgot.
You forgive him?
So we give him a little bit of steak. Yeah, we forgive him, and then he got Maradona's shirt, so we didn't forgive him for that, that's for sure.
He didn't forgive him for swapping shirts with Maradona?
Yeah. What do you want his shirt for? Is it cheap, you dad? Oh, we just hammered him. He was, I can't swear. I'm not swearing, but we had a go at him, something rotten. But he just took it in his stride, and it's worth $250,000. So I wish I'd have got it.
How good was he? How good was Maradona?
Someone
when he
said, "Why didn't you get his shirt?" I said, "I couldn't catch him." He was a fantastic. When he went on that run, I mean, I was on the left wing. I'd actually made an overlap for Glenn Hoddle. I think Gary Lineker gave the ball away near the halfway line. And I was on the left wing waiting for a pass back to Glenn Hoddle and knocked me in. So I was looking at poor Peter Reid chasing Maradona. And he seemed to have his head up and he was still dribbling the ball. He weren't even looking at the ball at times. And, you know, that is a skill in itself. He was a fantastic player. You know, I do believe to this day, if you ask Terry Fenwick, he'd already been booked in the first half. He would have brought him down. But if you get sent off for your club, it's bad enough. But if you get sent off for your country, it's a big, big thing. So I guarantee you that Terry Fenwick would have fouled him.
Greatest player
Terry would have kicked his own mum.
Yeah. Is he the...
Believe me.
Greatest player... Would you say greatest player of all time?
I think there's a few. I mean, when you look at people like Johan Cruyff and Pelé, George Best... Mm. You know, George, I know you've got Messi and that, and, you know, they're dribbling, with, you know, on perfect pitches. George Best used to do it in mud.
Yeah.
There's a major difference to that, you know, beating three or four people in mud than doing it on a perfect pitch. So, you know, there's been some great players. Maradona is one of the greatest of all time, there's no doubt. I do get asked the question, who's the toughest player I've played against? And obviously I played against Maradona three times, but not one-on-one. Do you know what I mean? He weren't a winger. Yeah. You know, he would play behind the centre-forward, or he'd go left, he'd go on the right. The toughest player I've ever played against personally is Ruud Gullit. He played right wing against me for Holland. And that was pretty difficult. He's 6'4", I'm 5' nothing. So I didn't win a header.
He was certainly a class player. Obviously... A lot of stuff has made the headlines recently that is incredibly sad. My own personal experience, I've saw addiction and alcoholism up close in my own personal life. Mm-hmm. Incredibly tragic. Was this something that was a problem when you played, or was this something that developed after you retired?
Well, I didn't have... my first drink was when I was 22.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, it was with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
We was playing Switzerland away in Bale. We lost 2-0. One of the goals I would have put down to myself. We got back to the hotel. There was champagne and orange. And I was an orange... All I drank up to that age was orange and lemonade. And champagne and orange was very similar. So I got very drunk. I think I was sick in the cab, went to a nightclub, tried to dance, and it slowly built up from the age of 22. And obviously it got to a stage where really I should have been playing for at least another 4 years in the big time, but, you know, the alcohol got in the way. That's for sure. And it caused me, you know, a few problems. You know, I've tried many times to get sober and stay sober, but as you know, it's not as easy as it sounds. You know, just don't drink again. You know, people say that, and you think, "Oh, I wish it was as easy as that." I've had a lot of backing. I've had a lot of help. You know, I've lost a lot of stuff and, you know, things like that. Obviously, money, gambling was another. And them two together were very, very bad.
Yeah, I remember.
I think gambling's worse, because if you gamble all your money, you can't buy a drink.
It's funny, I interviewed Paul Merson and asked him about the same thing. And of course, he had his own addictions as well. And
of course.
He told me same thing. By far and away, the worst was his gambling.
Yeah, definitely, I'd agree.
Not the cocaine, it was the gambling that was by far and away the
worst
for him.
Gambling is a real big powerful. I started gambling when I was about 16. And I think I won something in the region of 60 quid. It don't sound a lot of money today, but 60 quid for me when I was only earning £12 a week wages. Do you know what I mean? 60 quid was a bundle. And, I gambled and gambled. And towards the end, I bought my drink first before I had a gamble. So at least I had a drink to help me after I'd gambled all my money. So. Yeah.
Does any of this run in your family, Kenny? Is there anybody in your family?
My dad was a big drinker and a gambler.
Yeah.
See, my brother was a drinker and a gambler.
People who tell
and
you...
And my younger brother.
Yeah. People who tell you not to drink anymore are people who've never been an addict or an alcoholic. People have no idea what that's like.
Yeah, it's very difficult to understand. It is a buzz. You know, there's times where it's a buzz. You know, I heard one guy who'd been sober for 40 years and he said, I can't remember a good time in drink. I thought to myself, I've had some really good times in drink and some fun at family parties and, you know, going out with the lads. You know, I've had some fantastic times in drink. You know, but there's been times, you know, as it goes on and on, it gets... my story is the good, the bad and the ugly. There's a lot of good. There's a little bit of bad and there's a little bit of ugly as well, so... You know, that's how I'm not as good a shot as Clint Eastwood, but that's what I call my story, the good, the bad and the ugly.
Do you feel that any of this was fueled by any other things in your life, by self-medicating issues in your life, Kenny, whether it be trauma, depression, anything like that?
The total truth, from my opinion, I think I couldn't handle life because everything was done for me as a kid.
Yeah.
As an apprentice and a young pro, I was getting in the first team early. I was having big moves. I was earning good money. I had houses and, you know, went on nice holidays. But I couldn't handle life once it stopped. And that's when, you know, well, I'm one person. I'm sure there's lots of people out there that, you know, gambling and drink took me away from, you know, the bill that's still indoors. And the drink makes you forget for that night. And that night only, because it's on you the next day. So I really didn't handle life as well as I should have. And that's obviously one of my aims from, you know, from the last 7 weeks. And now I'm actually putting some effort in to being sober, which is nice. And I'm walking past betting shops. Unless I want to go to a toilet.
Yeah, of course. Well,
I do go into the odd betting shop on purpose to use the loo.
So, Kenny, when you talk about alcoholism, because alcoholism or any substance usually becomes a coping mechanism for difficulty. When you come up against issues in your life, you then lean on these substances or alcohol, whatever it is, to deal with things.
Definitely.
Are you learning different coping mechanisms to be able to handle not reaching for
alcohol? I'm trying to obviously stay sober is obviously the main thing, and not tempted to gamble. I'm trying to, through a friend of mine who you spoke to, Danny, and he's trying to get myself a place of my own so I can have responsibility. Because I think that's what I need. I need a place of my own where, you know, when someone's looking after you, if you're living in, say, their house or their caravan or whatever it may be, and they're looking after you, it's easy. And it's easy to go back on drink. But when you know, I'm going to try and live on my own and be responsible for my well-being.
Are you lonely, Kenny?
I'm not lonely at the minute. I've seen my girlfriend today and I'm really pleased.
So, I know you broke up with Denise, is it? So, what happened? Are you back together?
I see her today and I speak to her, so it's nice. So I say hello to her. So I'm just going to keep going. Speak to her on the phone every now and then, and hopefully, you know, when I get my own place, we can maybe see a bit more of each other. Sober.
Kenny, does Arsenal, Tony Adams, Sporting Chance, any of these, does the club help you at all? Does anyone reach out today and help you?
Yeah, they have. I've been in treatment 8 times, and. Every time I've been in there, I mean, I was clean in Luton for 6 months. I was clean when I come out of Tony Adams' place for the first time I went there. I was clean for 6 months. I did a thing in China, which was fantastic. I loved it, but the last day in China, I got drunk on the plane, and I was very drunk, and I went back on it. So I've tried all treatment centres. At the end of the day, it's in my head. I've got to do it myself.
One of the things that...
You know, entirely up to me, really. I mean, I know they've offered help. I mean, the PFA have, you know, I ain't going to say what sort of money. They've spent a lot of money on me, and I'm hoping when I, you know, if this carries on and I get what I need, hopefully I can ring them up and just say, could you do this for me? I just need this. I'm struggling a little bit, you know, get some work.
Yeah.
I know I can do work. The thing is, I know I can entertain three people around a golf course.
Yeah.
I can make them enjoy their day. I can entertain 250 people in a room. I tell all my stories are true. I don't swear. And I tell them the stories because I was at every single one of my stories. I was there. I was present. So they're all very, very true stories. They're some cracking ones as well.
Can he...
Really, really funny, true stories. And it's good.
Well, first of all, you've accomplished things that the vast majority of people in life never will. You've lived the dream of every young kid who's ever kicked a ball to be able to play for their country at a World Cup, to play against Maradona, to play for Arsenal, to play at the highest level. And that alone deserves enormous respect.
I want to pass it on. I've got to say to you, I want to pass it on. I want to do what I call an experience talk to school kids.
See,
at a good age.
I think that, and I think the fact that you have so much to give in terms of talking about the other aspects of life that no one wants to talk about. We see this with Gaza, who poor guy is suffering immensely as well. And people forget the football.
I think I've got an idea, but I'd have to see him and talk to him first.
You concerned about Gaza, Kenny?
I am a bit concerned because it's not easy, you know. When you got, if you got one or two massive issues, it makes it really hard. You've got to get them issues dealt with, and you know that's what I'm trying to do now. I'm trying to get my own place. I'll be doing the ringing, you know, for schools and obviously, you know, football clubs, and to do talks at football clubs, you know, especially young kids at 16, 17, give them a couple of inside information. Myself, so I am a bit concerned with Gaza, you know. I don't want him to be ill. Who knows his problem? And he's the only one that can do it. You can get help, you know, all day long. But once you pick that, I mean, I joke to people, I try and do funny stories, you know. I said to the PFA, I bought the first drink. They said, the first drink gets you drunk. I bought the first drink. I left it. Bought the second one, but I only drank the second one. I still got drunk. It's, you know, I make a laugh of it sometimes, but you know it's serious, and some people lose their lives over it. My sister's daughter, I went to a funeral this Monday, just gone, and she was an alcoholic like me. She drank neat vodka, and she passed away, and she got buried. Well, she got cremated on Monday afternoon.
Does that scare you, Kenny?
It doesn't scare me. How I've survived so far, I don't know, you know, because I was drinking, you know, in the region of 9 bottles of wine a day, and how I survived, I don't know. You know, someone's looking down.
And at the worst, Kenny, I was reading that you were sleeping on park benches, is that correct?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I've been in some rough places, and I remember going on one bench and there were some kids and they just poured all water over me, I think. I'm glad it was water and not the acid thing that's going around at the minute. So
what did they pour over you?
Just bottles of water because I was laying on the bench. It was like in a town centre, but it just poured all over me. And it woke me up, to be fair, so it was good.
and so, first of all, congratulations on your sobriety, and all you can really be sober is right now. That's it. I'm a big boxing fan as well. I remember a fighter right here being asked who dealt with cocaine addiction and being congratulated on his sobriety in beating cocaine addiction, and I remember his response being, I haven't beaten cocaine addiction, I'm just sober today, and that's all I can guarantee.
Yeah, today, that's it.
And
well, I've got a picture of here with Sugar Ray Leonard and me.
Legend.
And I've got a glass of wine in my hand.
Well, listen, Kenny, as I said to you, I've dealt with addiction, I've dealt with alcoholism up close, I know the struggle, coming from Belfast, depression and suicide is an epidemic over there at the moment, unfortunately. And so, first of all, it's great to see you in good spirits. It's great to see
you
healthy and in fighting, because I know how hard this is and how much you have to offer everybody. The other person that's been making the headlines recently because of alcohol issues has been Wayne Rooney. Do you have any concerns about Wayne and his drinking?
I think he's got gambling as well. So he's got the two, as you said, Paul Mercer and myself. I don't know about Gazza, but, you know, Wayne Rooney, he's got the two. He likes to gamble, doesn't he? You know, he's earning good money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that still can, you know, he can still be an alcoholic. You know, having all the money in the world is
doesn't
stop you drinking. That is for sure.
Yeah, he money.
Can't stop you for drinking, but...
Money's
I said to someone the other day, I said, I'm never going to get done for drink driving. And they said, what do you mean, stop drinking? I said, no, I ain't got a car.
Well, I mean, look, Kenny, everybody knows you have so much to offer. And everybody knows, look, if you can stay healthy, then there's a bright future for you. And the game will always be there for you, and the people that love the sport are always interested to hear what you have to say, because you've lived a life that most of us never will accomplish. And I was football daft as a kid. I was never good enough to make it to the level that you made it at. And so that in itself deserves enormous respect. And I'm honestly, you've such a fascinating story, Kenny, because it is really a story about the tragedy that can happen. And how it doesn't matter who you are, these addictions, these issues can happen to absolutely anybody. And I think there's a lot of people out there that listen to these that hide addictions, that hide alcoholism, that hide these things, and are afraid to get sober, because people are afraid that they can't enjoy life sober when they drink.
That's very true.
And they're afraid of, I'll never be happy if I'm sober. Are you happy sober, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm happy at the moment.
The moment, yes. That's all you can ask for, mate.
One day at a time.
Listen, Kenny, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on here, mate. Genuinely honoured that you took the time to come and talk to me. I'd love to have you back, and I'd love for you to come on and talk to us again. And I wish you nothing but the best on this journey, I hope.
I
think you're doing an amazing job. I'm immensely pleased and happy that you're sober, and I wish you nothing but the best, mate. And if there's anything we can ever do for you, just let me know. And thank you so much for talking to me.
Yeah, get me some work, you know, America.
Well, listen, we'll have that discussion, Kenny.
I want to give something to the kids, and if I can give them an edge, and you know, if I can get one out of 10. You know, make it as a pro and have a bit of success, that'd be great.
Do you know, even if they don't make it as a pro, just in life, because... Because these kids have so much to learn when it comes to... They're so naive, and, you know, I think people underestimate how easy these things can happen. You know, George Best's mother was an alcoholic and never touched a drink until her 50s. And as soon as she did, she was an alcoholic. And so it can happen really,
it can
really
hit
easy.
You any time, definitely.
So, listen, mate, thank you so much, Kenny. We'll keep in touch,
my
mate.
My pleasure.
Anything you need, just let me know. Cheers, pal. Bye-bye.
Bye.